Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here. I'm going to be a little subdued. I listened to myself the other day, one of the older shows, and couldn't stand it. It was just too loud. Hey, I couldn't stand it, okay? Anyway, I just want to review something that's been happening the last few weeks here. We've had an ongoing struggle on this show about cold calls. Now, I hate to say it, but some of the people, in fact, a lot of the people who listen to this show on a regular basis tend to be very short-sighted. Not all the time, but sometimes for sure. You see, I like to ask a recruiter who's a guest on this show how she approaches someone for the very first time, because I want to see if there's something special she does to establish rapport, something that I'm not doing that's going to make people want to talk to me. So I ask them to role play their cold call. And as soon as I do, the howling begins on this show and on Twitter too. Oh, recruiting animal, not this again. Oh, recruiting animal, this is so boring. You're putting me to sleep. The show's going downhill. But after all these years, I still don't understand it. I have to control myself now. I'm getting so excited. You know, in January alone, just this past month, we had a chance to see that a headhunter who makes $300,000 a year and a corporate recruiter who probably doesn't make $100,000, maybe she makes $50,000, both do the exact same thing. They don't do anything special. They just get on the phone and say, "Hi, I'm a recruiter. Do you have a few minutes for me?" And I personally, I think that's good to know. I want to know it. I like to get granular. It's very scientific. You might be wondering, though, does that mean all recruiters are the same? And the answer, quite bluntly, is no. After they say hello, some recruiters like to tell the person what they're recruiting for, and others like to start asking them questions. For them, those recruiters, every call is just a networking call. They want to get a thumbnail sketch of the candidate for their files, and they'll only tell you about a job when they decide it suits you. And it would be nice to have some way to measure the results of these two approaches, but so far, I don't know how to do that. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't ask recruiters how they engage people for the first time, how they speak to them. No, it doesn't mean that. So I'm going to keep asking, what do you say the first time you talk to somebody? And if you want to tell me, I want to hear. Call me right here on Jerry. Jerry! What show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show! Oh my.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome. Hey,
you know, you're not supposed to talk. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
You're already criticizing me, dude. I'm here to help you, not the other way around. I'm helping you.
You know what, Jerry? Let me pay you a compliment.
Would you please?
Yeah, I saw that you took your campaign to get paid for your split pay placement that you weren't paid for. You took it to Twitter this week, and I think that's a social media first. I think you're the very first man in history, to complain about a split placement on social media and name names. I'm sorry. I'm going to make a speech because social media isn't that social. Not many people in business. Oh, who's making that noise? I'm sorry, Jerry. Not many people want to air their business conflicts in public, do they, Jerry?
I felt I needed to do a public service announcement, okay, because I was shafted.
Yeah, you were. Okay, let me bring in Carmen Jeffrey, the guest, and see what she thinks about that. Carmen, are you there?
I am.
Yeah, we'll introduce you in a minute. I just want to get your intake as an experienced business person. Jerry named the person who shafted him, as he said, and he's telling everybody now that she didn't pay him. Do you think that's good social media?
I don't think that's good social media. But I'm the person that errs on the side of non-confrontation. So
you
err
on the side of just getting screwed and taking it.
Well, you know what? You just never know. You just never know how that's going to come back and bite you. I take that offline, that's all. But that's me, right?
Well,
and
it's been offline for about 3 years now.
At least. Yeah.
And here's what bugs me. We all think that if we get on Google and we check out somebody's social media tracks and, you know, we're going to know the person's real story. Well, that's just simply not the case.
That's not the case.
Nobody has the balls to tell the truth about who's getting screwed out here. And I, for one, I'm gonna start laying it on the line if somebody rips me off. And it's only happened one time in 26 years. That's why
okay.
It just burned me so.
I think so. You could did they come back to you? Did they come back and maybe track the fact that they sent you an iPal payment?
She's never going to pay him. Chris Russell,
yeah,
are you
she's
here?
She's never going to pay me. She's never
going to
pay me.
Chris Russell,
hey,
are you here?
Hey, I'm on here, yeah.
Okay, so you're an experienced. Chris Russell's just going to do a promotion for himself. But first, I want to ask him, what do you think about this? Do you think that Jerry should be going out and getting this girl on social media? If it's really social, I think he should.
I back Jerry 100%.
Good. Okay.
Thanks. And I'm not so much getting her. I'm just finally tired of keeping it all in. I'm tired of covering up for her. People
so
should know.
Do you have a track record of doing this? Is she known for being a bit of a shyster?
No, nobody is. Because nobody has the balls to come out and say, hey,
it's a part of
look over
history,
here.
Didn't you hear
it
that,
might be
Carmen?
A big reveal. It might be a big reveal. Who knows? You get might get all sorts of people piping
okay,
in.
Okay,
about
okay,
that.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. We're going to move on. Chris
now.
Russell.
Yeah,
Chris Carmen, I just have Chris Russell's an old friend of ours. And
hey,
we,
Chris.
We have to do an ad for him.
Is
okay?
he the Jobs
okay.
and Pods guy?
Yes,
formerly.
Everything
yes.
guy. He's done everything. And Chris, if you want to introduce yourself, you know, first so people know your history, that's fine. But you've got a new offering that you want to tell us about. So I'll give the floor to you until you screw up, and then I'll interrupt. But if you don't screw up, you can do it all yourself.
All right there. So, yeah, Chris Russell. I'm considered the mad scientist of online recruiting. So I build and experiment with a lot of new technologies. So I have a free app for recruiters to help you stay on top of the industry in terms of all the news and podcasts that are out there. So it's called Recruiting News Feeds, and it's an iOS app that will basically pulls in the RSS feeds from all the major news blogs, such as ERE, Examiner, Recruiting mm-hmm. Blogs, Recruiting Trends, SourceCon, sites like those. And then also podcasts as well, including The Animal Show and Drive Through HR and stuff like that. So it's
So you can read them on your iPhone. That's it, right?
Yep, iPad, iPhone Touch, iPod Touch, any of those devices. And
oh,
some
you
got, come
you're
up.
Going Android as well.
Yeah, we'll build an Android version at some point next couple of months too.
Okay. Now, I got to fault you on something. If you go to careercloud.com and you click on mobile, you can read about this, but why don't you just give it its own URL, recruitingnewsfeeds.com? It's only $10. Are you too cheap?
That's a good idea, actually. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah, he's calling him a mad scientist, and I'm giving him the ideas, okay? Anybody got a question for Chris? No questions. Okay, recruiting news. How do they get it? They go to careercloud.com. They click on mobile, which is in the top right corner, and what do they do then? Anything?
Just click on the link for the Pretty News app. It'll take you right to the iTunes store. You can download it from there.
Okay, now I didn't charge you for this, so you're going to pay me by singing with me and Carmen. Okay?
All right, let's do it.
Okay, we're going to do that Snoop Dogg song that Matt Carney introduced
yeah.
me to. We're just going to do the refrain. Sipping the what's it called? Gin and juice, right?
Gin and juice.
Everybody know it? Do you know it, Carmen?
No, I don't.
Do you know Chris Russell?
Not really, but go ahead.
I didn't either. So we'll walk through the words. Sorry, everybody. I got to get this done. We'll walk through the words, then we'll sing it, then we'll be over. Otherwise, for Carmen, I'll sing Curly Headed Baby. But let's try this first, okay? Okay, so you say, I'm driving down the street smoking endos. Can you say that, Chris and Carmen?
Sure.
Driving down the street smoking.
I'm driving down the street smoking indos. We should say that together, though, right?
All right. So you want two, three.
What's an indo?
I'm driving
down the street smoking indos.
Sipping on gin and juice.
Sipping on gin and juice.
And then you shout, laid back.
Laid back.
Laid back.
Final line, got my mind on my money and my money
on my
mind. Okay, so now we're going to sing. Kira, you know the song. You want to help us out here?
I will not sing about drinking and driving and smoking pot on the highway.
Okay.
I've got a brand to keep up.
Because the three of us will do it, anybody else who wants to.
Okay.
One, two, three. I'm
driving
down the street, smoking indos, sipping on gin and juice. I'm laid back. Come on. Got my
mind
and
my money on my mind.
Okay, you were way better at that than it.
Okay, well, you know, next
horrible.
Time you'll call in just to sing. Thank
Snoop
you,
would
Chris.
Be proud.
I'll be doing an ad for Chris on an ongoing basis for Recruiting News Feed. But you're welcome to come back anytime you want and do that for yourself. Everybody, you have to go to thejobboarddoctor.com and take his survey, annual survey, once a year. He's the real thing as well. Job Board Doctor, do a survey. I think that's it for the ads for today, right? Thank you, Chris.
Thanks,
Carmen.
Animal. Talk to you later.
Carmen.
Hello.
Introduce yourself, please.
My name is Carmen Jeffrey. I'm a Toronto-based recruiter. I focus in two areas in Knightsbridge Human Capital, where I'm a partner. One key area is interim management, which is the placement of interim executives into short-term engagements, and the other area that I cover is outsourced recruitment. But we're here to talk about interim management, so I'll just key in on
no,
that.
No, we're here to talk whatever we want to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah, you're
okay,
not setting
okay.
the rules
you don't
here,
tell
Carmen.
Us. You're not running the show.
Back up.
You're the first time. You never call in, now you're taking over. Okay,
yep.
I have to ask a question. First of all, you know, in Toronto, we don't say interim. We say interim. I don't know where you got that, okay? But why don't you just say temp? Interim, what is it?
You know what?
You know,
it's funny that
what?
You say that. It's funny that you say that because a lot of interim people who are contractors or consultants, however they want to brand themselves, some
yeah.
of them don't even know they're interims because they're not familiar with the buzzword. And the buzzword comes from the UK, right, where they're much, much more proper than we are here in North America.
Give me a break. We've had UK people on this show. They're not proper.
Okay, well, they're ways of communicating, right? Formally,
yeah,
especially
right.
in the workplace, or more formal. But
okay.
I think also temp employees are a little – the laws for an interim are a little bit different than for a temp.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you
– Yeah. Yeah,
can you
I'm not a big temp expert, so if you are, Jerry, that would be helpful. So an interim manager is paid a daily rate, not an hourly rate.
Okay.
So it's a pre-negotiated fee, and they invoice us, and we pay them without CPP, that's Canadian Pension, and without UI, any deductions at all. They're paid straight the same way some contractors are or temp people are.
Okay.
And we actually have them insure themselves. So we are not liable, nor is the employer or the client that hires them.
You know
them.
What? I think we should come to this payment stuff a little later. What you're doing is getting these geezer managers who have had their day, and they just want to work part-time and finding them some slots for a few months, right?
Not so much. I think, first of all, most interims, because I'm going to use that term, they work full-time. They often work well over an 8-hour day. So our average assignment is 9 months. So these guys are certainly not looking for temp work or to work part-time, and they work their butts off. They work really hard. They're given fairly intense deadlines and timelines.
Okay, but they're all, you said they're over 50 years
they
old,
are.
Right?
They are. And that's true. That's the demographic, although sometimes we do have people – something's happened with my feedback. Did you hear that, animal? Is it working
heard
it okay?
Just keep going. Yeah,
okay.
Keep going.
Yeah, no, I think sometimes, you know, recently we've been asked to place more junior people, which means the age slips down into the 30s and 40s. But overall, if you were to look at a case study, yeah, it's 50 to 55. And these are people
what
that
titles?
Have been there, done
what
that.
Titles? What titles?
Vice president, C-level, senior director, sometimes senior manager, depending on the structures they're used to working within.
Okay,
but
what size
people,
companies are these guys going into?
Fortune 500s, Fortune 1000s.
Really? They're big companies, but they're not going to run a whole company with a division
they are
or,
not.
Or a department.
Divisions and business units. Divisions and business units. But I will tell you that when small to medium companies come to us, they are part and parcel of running the whole company. They're coming in as an interim CFO or an interim CEO, and they're working with the board to realign, reorganize,
okay,
shape-shift, do whatever has to happen.
I was working at a company once many years ago, and they went bankrupt. They went into receivership. And so they brought in a guy, I guess, from one of the accounting firms, the receiver, to represent the receiver. And nobody liked the guy. That we all hated him for no reason at all. But that's where I can see somebody coming in. What situations do they bring these guys in for, or women? What's of these people?
Sure. So I'll give you an outline of a couple things. One project I did recently was to find an executive director for a not-for-profit. And the executive search team had been looking for months and months to find this guy, following the classic recruiting models. And they were looking for somebody with tenure and a sense of career stability, who had a lot of long-term stints in their background, which made sense because that's what the board was looking for. But what we did in the interim was we found them an interim executive director, somebody to come in, work with the board, work with the existing employees, and help turn around a deficit, somebody to help raise some funds. And so we found a guy that had been working in the not-for-profit space for 20 years. He started his career in the 70s as a principal of a big, high-profile boys' private school. He had the all-star cast of masters and PhDs.
This guy must have been 80. How old was he?
Easily in his 60s.
Okay.
This guy turned
the
whole...
What was the problem at this... Sorry, I got to tell you, you're too wordy. What was the problem at this non-profit company? Why did they not have their own...
So deficit, so hadn't raised enough funds, hadn't gone out to the private sector and raised enough funds.
And so they fired their current guy? They fired their current person? Okay,
and they
weren't having any luck with another recruiter hiring somebody. So somehow they came, did they come to you or did you, you know,
they came to us. They came to us saying, we're doing an executive search. Can you find us somebody in the interim to fill this gap? Because if we're not careful, the board's going to implode.
Yeah, okay,
we're going to lose all the
employees. Don't go on, okay?
I'll slow down.
Okay, so you put the guy in there for how long?
He was there for, the end is he got hired full time. But he was put in for 3 months. Yeah, and after 3 months, they hired him full time.
Okay, and so what was he doing when you found him? Was he in his basement pretending to be a consultant or something like that? No.
He was working with a not-for-profit, just coming out of a contract. He'd actually done some work in the hospital sector too, raising funds as a major gift specialist.
So here's the thing: how do you find these people who are senior managers who want to work as temps?
LinkedIn.
I tell you,
hold on, Animal. These are not temps.
These are temps.
Let me give you the difference in layman's terms between temps and consultants or interim. Temps quite frequently need a ride to work, or they need help finding a babysitter. Okay. Consultants don't.
That's a temp admin. This is a temp manager.
When you use the word temp, it immediately puts somebody in that
$11
an hour category.
You know what
I got to tell you, every time she says interim,
I feel bad.
She's Canadian,
word, okay?
And so are you, Animal. Go into LinkedIn and do an advanced search. Press in chief, right, as title, and then press in interim and keyword, and you'll find all sorts of people that brand themselves as interims.
Why can't your customers do that on their own then?
But we don't find... We do come up against LinkedIn a lot, but we have 300 consultants that work with Knightsbridge. Most of them are senior-level executives, right, or people that have transitioned out of being senior-level executives and are actual associates with us. So we have a coaching business unit here called Leadership Solutions. We've got a career transition business unit here that does everything from career management to outplacement, and these people have been there, done that. So when you ignite a search to that network, you get referrals. And so that's a big part of how we found
people. You've got your own database of people you've used for your coaching businesses, and you draw on them.
We draw on them for referrals, though, because the person that does coaching or outplacement is not the person that does interim work. But boards have phenomenal networks. A lot of time we'll reach out to members that are people that are board members and ask them for referrals because they're
people
always
you
looking
don't know,
for people to
people
do.
You don't know who
absolutely.
Are. So you work on a,
absolutely.
Hold on, you work on a referral basis primarily, yes or no?
I would say 50% of what we do is based on referrals.
Okay.
The rest
so tell
is,
us how you
is
get
net
referrals.
New research.
Tell us how you get referrals, okay?
Sure. I might call a chairman of a board that I know in a related sector to a search and ask him who he's worked with in the past. I need a CFO
okay, you
that
don't
can do
know.
Turnaround.
Do you call people you don't know? Didn't you hear my
yes,
introduction?
Yes, I do. I absolutely
didn't you hear
do.
What I'm interested in? Do you call people you don't know?
Yeah.
How do you
yeah.
identify them? What do you
sure.
say to them?
So how I identify them is often by working with Google and LinkedIn or with our own database or just talking to people here in my office saying, who do you know that knows this space? Who can I network with? And if I don't get a warm introduction, I just call the person and I'm just myself. I say, hi, my name is Carmen Jeffrey. I work with Knightsbridge, which has a lot of clout. Knightsbridge has a phenomenal brand in the Canadian industry. And I tell them about the search I'm working on. I say, can I spend a couple minutes with you on the phone talking about what I'm looking for and maybe if you have a couple of referrals, I'd love to know who you'd recommend. And people are phenomenally generous that way.
Mm-hmm. I think my experience says that the more senior people for the senior jobs, they will recommend people. When you're looking
really
for people
will.
For more junior jobs, it's not as much.
That's
my
absolutely
experience.
Accurate. Absolutely. Unless, again, you go to the senior level executive and say, what manager have you worked with recently or what director have you worked with recently that maybe you couldn't accommodate for one of your own mandates or maybe you let them go? How do you feel about referring me to somebody in your network? Sometimes they are fairly generous, but again, you're going senior to find somebody junior as opposed to a peer. People don't recommend their peers that often.
Okay, that's true. Why
can you define the word mandate? I'm starting to hear it more
sure.
and more. I'm about sick of it.
Mandate.
Mandate, you will.
It's your objective.
Damn it.
It's your assignment. It's your...
Jerry thought it was like some kind of romantic.
No, I don't like it.
Mandate.
I understand what the word's trying to mean.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds nice, doesn't it? Mandate.
It's kind of like the word recruitment.
Yeah. It's like calling someone a stakeholder or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know what? I prepped you. I'm going to test you now. You said
sure,
you'd give
ahead.
Us some examples of the searches you've been working on, and like the blow by blow. Do you have one to start with?
Yeah, I'll give you one that I think is a bit dramatic. So
okay, great.
And it almost blew up in my face. So I think that could be interesting for you.
Good. Yeah.
So I had a global consumer packaged goods company reach out to me. They had
reach out. They called
sorry,
you,
sorry,
right?
Sorry. They called me. Right. I will stop the bad words. So they called me saying we've got a factory in a rural environment. Our personnel manager, note they use the word personnel manager, is ineffective because we have young employees joining our company and they want a human resource manager. We've got a union that's threatening to take over. We've got a huge Workwell audit that has to get done by the end of the month. And we're in crisis. And we need an HR manager that can come in, or an HR director rather, that can come in and help us get up and running, re-engineer our entire employee culture and establish credibility so this union doesn't take over and we don't fail our audit.
How did they find you? They called you.
They did.
They
did.
How did that happen?
We had a recruiter on site who was helping them fill a bunch of jobs in their manufacturing facility, and
so
they were
again,
so happy with
one
the recruiter.
One arm of your business feeds one arm of your business
yeah.
feeds the other.
It's our
right?
Yes, absolutely, 100%, 100%.
Okay.
So this is our
okay.
outsourced recruiting division feeding us an opportunity for an interim. Yeah.
Okay. So continue.
So
that's important to know.
So we found
that's
a girl.
To know.
Yeah, I think it is. Thank you. So we found a woman who had started out as a recruiter, recruiting blue-collar folks in the manufacturing industry. So she'd been – or sorry, in the manufacturing sector. So she'd been doing that for like 10 years and said, enough of
this.
Where'd you
find her?
Where'd
you find her? What are you
leaving
gaps for?
LinkedIn. I found her on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And
you didn't find her on Twitter?
No, I didn't find her on Twitter.
Wait a second. You found her as an HR manager. Did she have temp or interim on her headline?
She did not. She did not, actually. But she had the right experience. And so sometimes what I'll do is I'll look at their profile on LinkedIn, and she had an end date, right? She was unemployed. And that's why I reached out to her. I figured, okay, she stopped working till I'm calling. Yes, that's why I called her, or actually sent her an in-mail. And so what I discovered about her background.
You sent her an in-mail. You sent her an in-mail. You didn't phone her. Why is that?
Because there's no phone number on her LinkedIn profile, and she was no longer working. And I didn't go to Canada 401 and look her up. I just sent her an in-mail, and she got back to me within, like, 5 hours.
Okay.
And so what she had in her background was for a bit of a Phoenix Rising cycle. You know, she'd been a recruiter, had to recreate herself, became an HR manager in a manufacturing facility. She'd successfully led this fledgling consumer packaged goods company through an audit, and they won.
And did she have to relocate to this rural location?
She did not. She did not. She lives 30 minutes away. So
oh,
the other
really?
Thing you
okay.
do in LinkedIn
Fair
is
location.
you punch in the postal code, right? So that was helpful. And so she'd been this woman that had recreated herself 3 times in her career, and her final success was being in a large scale manufacturing facility where the union had been threatening, where they'd failed this audit, where the whole company was geared towards personnel management, not human resources. And she basically worked there for 3 years and re-engineered the whole company and the whole culture. So she had the perfect track record.
Uh-huh.
So I placed her at this consumer packaged goods company.
Was
and immediately
she the only
she
candidate
had
you sent? Or
Animal,
did you send
you're
no.
losing your
Can
audience.
I
just did a quick poll. I'm just telling
okay.
you, try to
right.
tighten this up a little bit.
Okay.
I'm helping
right.
you from the outside.
I have to control her. I mean, you know, she's going giving too much info.
Okay.
Did you
want some out of work blue collar lady? Where am I?
What? Let's just be quiet for a sec, Jerry. Now,
well,
you know,
I was
get
for 10 minutes, but fell asleep, homie.
Well, why
I'm sorry. Okay, so
why
I'm trying to listen and be patient. I don't want to get over the top of this thing, but somebody
right.
had to say something.
Well, the searches always have a bit of drama, so I can, you know,
no,
I can just tell
second.
You in a nutshell.
I'm going to guide you. Didn't you hear? People are getting bored. They want me to keep you, you know, on track.
Okay.
So did you send any other candidates?
Yes, I did.
Just
I
her?
Sent six. I sent six.
Six candidates?
I did.
Wow, how come?
The first wave of candidates were too senior, and they couldn't come to an agreement with respect to rate, because once they went to the interview and realized how hard the job was going to be, their rates went up. And that you try to have candidate control, and sometimes you can't, and that's just the way it is.
Go ahead.
So we had to go to a more junior level, and so the second wave of three candidates was where I got my traction.
Okay.
So she came in, she was successful, although it wasn't easy. She was badgered, she was threatened, she had all sorts of harassment issues that came up in her first 6 months. Eventually she steadied, and then she called me looking for a labor relations guy, a guy who could do union negotiations because the union was making headway. And so we placed this guy to work with her, and they absolutely hated each other. So I kept thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to lose the search. I'm going to have to replace this guy. I'm never going to find somebody at this rate. He was extremely expensive, but out in the market when you hire labor relations people and union negotiators, they're off the charts with respect to how much they pay. So this guy was in line with their budget, and she was pissed off because he was eating salad with his fingers. He was using swear words. He was an ex-union steward, and he knew everybody in the union, and she felt like he was being unprofessional. At the end of the day, he saved them all kinds of money. They were able to lay off something like 50 people without any grievances in the union set, and it all worked out. But she probably will never speak to me again. He was successful. Management in the U.S. was happy, but it was very hard.
You made her look like gold. She won't speak to you? What, was she calling you every week to complain? Is that what happens
pretty much,
in these things?
Pretty much.
Okay. Okay, so that you told us a dramatic story. Any questions, Jerry, or anybody else?
No.
Poor Jerry's
I mean, dare I say that covered it?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, you said that the turnaround time is very short.
Yeah,
5 to 10 days. 2 to 5 days. Within 1 week, you have to have a short list. How's that possible?
Well, when you've got a network of 300 people that you can reach out to referrals, you get people sending you people within 24 hours. So that's one
really?
Day.
Okay.
You go on LinkedIn, that might take you 6 hours. It's half a day.
Uh-huh.
And so within 2 days, you've already got people in our offices interviewing.
Uh-huh.
And then within 6 hours of us shortlisting here, we've got the client lined up for interviews there.
You bring in people for face to face all the time?
Always.
What
you
if
have
it's
to
a remote
meet people.
Okay.
If it's a remote location, Skype. You just do Skype.
Oh, you do Skype interviews?
I do if it's a remote location, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Jerry, have you ever done one?
Have I ever done one?
Skype interview?
Sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it works.
Not so much a Skype interview, but plenty of Skype conversations with people, yeah.
Now, when you do the Skype interview, it works out actually better because people are a little bit more self-conscious when they're on Skype. So you get to see the body language, right? And presentation
and
is key when you're an executive.
They know how to
absolutely.
Use Skype.
Absolutely.
Isn't it an unbelievable animal? And they know how to put cat pictures on Facebook, too. I mean, they're doing all kinds of stuff with these computers now.
Well,
amazing.
I think people necessarily
especially if you're a person that's done a lot of interim work, you get up to speed really quickly. Like when I meet these guys for interviews, they don't come in with their Blackberries. They've got iPhones and Androids. They're hap. These guys are marathon runners. They swim. They jog. Same with the women. Same thing. They're really progressive thinkers, and they're aware that there's an ageism factor in the workforce, and they come up to speed pretty quickly.
What's the average daily rate for one of these interim people?
About $900.
And what do they get paid? Seven? $650?
Seven. $750.
That's cool. Just wondering.
Okay. You said that you just were alluding to the same kind of thing. These people are a bit different than the average person. They've got more
spit and vinegar.
How do you screen for that?
It's storytelling. You got to get them in the interview. In the first 5 minutes, I know, and the rest of the 55 minutes of the interview is me just getting them to tell me stories. How did they handle adversity? How did they handle an unexpected merger and acquisition?
No. So the first 5 minutes, you know, that means it's a gut reaction, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know by your gut. And then you ask them, give the specific questions you're asking. Don't be general here, okay?
Sure. So maybe they were second in command of the CEO, and there was something going on in an audit.
No.
How do you
screen for them? What do you say? Do I have to say pretend I'm one of the candidates and ask
No. It's just asking them how they react to things.
Give me a question. Give me a question. Why do I have to beg?
Okay. So your CEO asks you to do something unethical during an audit. How do you handle that?
Okay, so that's
sometimes
a hypothetical.
That's the
you
kind
like
of story
asking,
that'll come up.
You like asking hypothetical questions, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's one. During an audit, a financial audit or a
financial
workflow? Uh-huh.
No, financial.
And if they say, what do you mean? Do they ever ask for clarification?
Not generally. They're pretty talkative. Not generally. But I think a lot of these guys come from companies where the corporate image has been at risk, where they've had stuff hit the news that's pretty controversial, and they've been exposed to that. So they've had to think on their feet and cover stuff up or straighten things out.
They've said how they cover stuff up. Is that the kind of answer you're looking for? What kind of answer you're looking for with a question like that?
Exactly, beginning to end, how somebody got through a difficult moment. How, if a CEO comes to a CFO and says they want you to fudge the books, I look for a CFO that says no. And what did they do? And how did they go to the board and have that solved? Did they get the CEO fired? Did they get fired? Was that kind of thing? And some of these interims have been fired. Some of them have, and that's okay because they move on and are successful in other career avenues, in other jobs, in other interim engagements, and they prove themselves.
So these are people who are more combative than
absolutely.
And have thicker skin than the average
absolutely.
Person because they're going into a situation where the current team is screwing up and they have to turn it around and they have to shake things up and say, the way you're doing things is lousy and you're going to
exactly.
do things my way now.
And because they don't have to drink the water cooler Kool-Aid, they don't have to become a part of the full-time culture, they absolutely are not afraid to express themselves, be direct, and tell people the way it is. They're not bulls in China shops because they're more diplomatic than that, but they certainly aren't afraid to call a spade a spade.
And do you check them for that as well? How do you, what do you? You told us one thing, right? That they're willing to speak strength, truth to power, or something like that. They don't let people push them around, even if it's their boss.
No.
They're not afraid to lose their job, right?
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, our practice has been around for 7 years. I think we've only had two interims be let go. And I think, again, it just comes back to the fact that we're all experienced recruiters. We know exactly what to look for. We do references before we place these people, and our reference calls are long. And we look for all of the kinds of things that trigger weak performance, right?
Well, I'm asking you now, tell me some of them, and not in general terms, in specific terms. If you're calling a reference, for instance, you might use that woman or some other example.
Do you call references that they give you, or do you dig up your own?
A bit of both. We definitely call references that they give us because that's what we have to do. But in order to get to that candidate, especially if it's through referrals, you're already doing the reference because somebody is putting their reputation on the line by giving you a referral, right?
Not necessarily. They just give you a name. They're doing you a favor.
I don't think so.
Stick to them. I don't think it hurts their reputation at all. So, like, when someone says, call Jerry Albright because he's great at this, you say, well, does Jerry have any guts? Can Jerry talk back to his manager? Has he ever done it in the past? Do you ask those questions up front?
Yeah, we do. I'll say things like, you know, tell me about a time when XYZ was faced with something that you felt was really contentious within the board. Tell me how they handled that situation. Or you guys were going through a confidential acquisition. How did XYZ handle that? Say there's somebody in charge of investor relations or communications, or, you know, something where you are the face of the company or the face of the executive. How did they handle that? And they'll just give me blow by blow case scenarios how the person handled that.
Okay, so you're saying, no, you do that before you even call the candidate? As soon as they mention the person's name, you start screening the candidate with the person who's giving the referral?
Sometimes, yeah.
Just to make sure. Let me make sure that I'm talking about the right kind of person.
Yeah.
And then you ask a few questions.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And when I do I do long reference checks as well. The thing is, and I do get the information just like you're doing, but I have to usually pull it out of the guys. And the thing is, they're not experienced, so you can. When they'll tell you something that's a lie or, you know, just leaving stuff out, and then you ask follow-up questions and it comes out. It sounds like these people you're talking to, just like they like to give referrals, they like to spill their guts in the
a little bit. Guts. Well, I think a lot of it's PR, too. So if somebody's on the line giving you a reference and they're a senior-level executive,
uh-huh.
If they're happily employed today, they may not be tomorrow. So I think a lot of it is people putting their best foot forward because we are an executive search / recruiting firm. So they don't want to mess up with us.
Okay, but you know what? Being established Jerry.
Jerry.
You know, it's good that you got Jerry there, but let me say, people are always saying establish a relationship with the recruiter. Be nice to them. They're going to do you a favor. You can't do anybody a favor. If a guy can give you a reference check today, tomorrow he can be out of a job, calls you up, help me. You say, well, sorry, I don't have anything for you, right? You can't do anything for anybody.
It's so true, and that happens a lot, too. We get people calling us all the time thinking that we're agents. We're not agents. We don't go out and represent interim managers. We are search mandated. We are search focused.
You don't market
it. We do not. We absolutely do not.
Okay. And what do you like about, Jerry, did you have something to say or just that it's not going well? Is that what you wanted to say?
I'm sorry, Jerry.
I've got a cold today, and if my breathing is a bit heavy, I apologize. I'm trying to keep it in check.
No, that was a nudge. I know you already. Okay, you wanted to say. You were saying I don't like what she's saying, or I don't want to hear this.
Maybe that is what I'm saying. Okay.
Well, you guys are used to Jerry. Tell me about the kind of recruiting you do.
No, he's not the
guy. Yeah, see, now we're getting there, but I can't answer that.
You can tell her what she's doing wrong based on what you just heard.
Do you mind, Animal, if I talk a little bit?
Yeah,
consultants, contractors.
So I did that before I came to Knightsbridge. I did IT contractors and also permanent IT people.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a little more cha-ching, right? It's a little more transactional. It's a little more racy. This is different. It's more consultative, right? It's more relationship focused, and people really care. It's not and I'm not saying what you do is commoditized, because that's not fair, but it has a bit more of that feel. You cannot commoditize an interim executive. You just can't. Can't be done.
What does that mean? What are you talking about? Now you and Jerry are saying things I don't understand.
Well, commoditizing is, you know, in staffing, Jerry, I don't know if I'm right on terms of how you work, but specifically contract
staffing.
You're
trying to build a relationship with Jerry against me, I can tell.
Oh,
okay,
no.
You don't know what commoditizing is, Animal?
No, these guys are all commodities. She's selling these people. She finds them in 2 days and ships them out, right?
Commoditizing, in my opinion, means one is just almost the same as the next as the next.
Yeah, they are.
So kind of like
it's
pizza.
It's skills-based. It's a little
more
skills-based.
You need three pizzas, we're
going
to send them over.
Yeah, right. And you won't meet the people. You'll just look at the resume, line up the skills, look at a skills matrix.
No, I've never seen that.
Probably.
Sorry, I'm not familiar with that kind of thing.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we've never done that in my life.
Okay.
Never done that. Okay.
There's a lot of stuff Animal's never done, but that's a different show there.
Or
certainly a lot of stuff he hasn't done in the last 30 years.
Look at this. You've got... You made me now I forgot what I was going to say. Okay, do you work with these guys over and over again? Are they like, I know what I wanted to ask. Do these guys, if you're recruiting if you've got a client who's in the chemical business, do you have to find an executive? These are general skills. Because here's the thing. Our clients, they'll often say, no, I need somebody from my industry. And the candidates say, I'm a manager. I've got transferable skills.
Yeah.
And they say, no. And you're saying the skills are transferable. Is that right?
So sometimes they are. Here's an example. Client comes to me, they're with a professional association, they have a huge contact center, they want somebody who's got experience working with professional associations that's led a contact center. Well, the person I might find comes from a credit card company or comes from an insurance company, but guess what? They know how to turn around a contact center. So in that case, I will present that executive to the client saying, look, I got somebody that's got loads of experience turning around weak performing contact centers, so why don't you take a look? Or you've got somebody that's doing SOX compliance, right? And they've got experience in every sector but healthcare.
Mm.
And that candidate has 15, 20 years of success doing audits, the last 10 doing SOX stuff. Well, your client's not going to say no because they know how to do this. And here's the interesting thing. The interim always wants to expand into new sectors. They're always excited about working in a sector that they've never worked in. So the compelling piece for you as a recruiter is, come on, you got to check this out. This is your first chance to work in healthcare, your first chance to work in a professional association, or your first crack at consumer packaged goods. You got to check this out. And sometimes what you'll find is that executives that are hungry for a new sector will drop their rate. So then you get a C-level guy or a VP-level guy that will go down a notch in the org structure. So a VP that will do a director's job or a C-level person that will do a VP's job because they're hungry for the experience. And generally they have a lot of money and they're good finance managers, so they can take a cut. Not a huge one, but they will.
Okay. Are you as tough, since your experience dealing with people who can talk back, if they don't take any kind of BS?
No.
But when you're dealing... What? You know what?
No, they don't. They don't take BS at all.
Okay. So when you're talking to your client and they say, I need somebody from this background or I need these requirements, and you don't believe they do, are you tough with them?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because we pull from all the experiences we've had in the past. So you'll say to a client that's saying, I need XYZ, you'll say, well, let me tell you a story about when I had a client asking me for the same thing you're asking us for, and we found this instead, and let me tell you how successful they were. And sometimes, you know, if you show them a business case, they'll bite.
Do you ever fire a client? Say, I'm not working with you.
Never.
No, because these guys, it sounds like these people you're sending out, to some extent, they're time bombs. If your client... He says, I want things a certain way, and your candidate doesn't believe it should be going that way, they're not going to take any guff. It'll make them look bad, right? They're not going to institute policies. You're bringing me in here because you guys can't do it.
Listen
to me or fire me, right?
You know, We tend to do a bit of liaising in the background because sometimes you will have a client that's a little bit hot-headed calling to blow off some steam, but they never do it directly to the interim. And then you have the interim calling you to blow off some steam because they never do it directly to the client, and you end up kind of brokering the conversation. And I've never seen anything blow up. I really haven't.
Okay.
Maybe that's because
you're
Canadian.
You're dealing with live wires. You
yeah.
describe your people as... is like warriors, kind of, real, you know,
I think of
cowboys.
Them as that. I mean, they're not all, right? Not, you know, they're not all warriors, but easily 70 to 75% of them have thick skin and are not afraid to be called to task.
Okay.
And
so
I think the clients need that.
Okay, you can finish. Go ahead. What? Resume strategy said I should let you talk. Go ahead.
No, go. You go.
Okay. Well, when I stuck, okay, how many hours is it? When you're doing the research for these guys, you said you use LinkedIn and blah, blah, blah. Do you do it after hours, your online research, or during the day?
During the day.
So you,
during
yeah,
the
so
day.
People who say, oh, you have to be on the phone all day, you can't be on the internet doing research, that's
I do
baloney,
both.
Right?
No, I do. I have ADD, so it's really easier for me to be on the phone and search LinkedIn and our database at the same time.
Uh-huh. You know, Rebecca Sargent claims that all good recruiters have ADD.
I wouldn't be surprised. I always call social media my manifestation of my ADD, right? There's nothing like being on Twitter during a con call. But anyway, yeah,
okay,
I think
so,
you multitask. You do things concurrently so you can go home at 5:30.
I don't believe in multitasking, yeah. Okay, so yeah, so you go home if that's the next thing. What kind of hours do you put in?
Honestly? 9 to 5.
Well, you don't have to. I don't know. I don't know who's listening to this.
Yeah,
you know,
10 to 3 with a long run.
I should have been ready for that. And 9 to 5 in terms of, you know, focusing on the search and identifying candidates, but I do a lot of work after hours, just setting up interviews, answering questions. But that's all on my phone, texting, right? That's not on the phone chatting.
Oh, really?
I don't take many calls after 5:30. I have to be honest with you, I don't. Don't stop me there.
You want to criticize her, Jerry?
Go ahead.
No, I don't either.
Anybody else want
to
criticize her?
I pay people to do that, Animal.
See, manage your day. You have to manage your day.
No,
I'll
do important calls at any time.
Yeah,
any time.
Good
but
point.
People that want me to talk to them about their resume at 8 o'clock at night, I kind of find ways to just say, hey, let's do it at lunch tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if somebody's looking for a job, whether it's a contract assignment or full time, they can work with you. They can talk to you between 9 and 5. They don't have to be difficult.
Okay. So I think you and Jerry kinda want to go back to the piece, but you said these people should really incorporate themselves. And
yes,
that's what our new friend Daryl Daly told us as well. He's
hey,
in Toronto and he does temp IT people, just like Jerry.
No, he does not do temp IT people. He does contract IT people.
Uh-huh.
You need to start the disparagement of the industry.
He said, hey, Carmen, let's go downtown. Okay, so
I thought that was
Daryl
on the line. I thought I was actually having a third person pipe in here. Oh, well. It's you changing your voice.
I can do other voices. Okay.
Is there anybody else on the show?
Yeah,
you've kind of lost your
couch
audience.
They never want to talk. I don't know. There's people on the line, okay? So look. What do you see these candidates? It sounds like these are super people. You're dealing with a high class of person, a better than average kind of person. That's what strikes me as. So what do you see them doing wrong most often when they present themselves to you or to the marketplace?
Oh, a couple things. Sometimes they go in for the interview and they start giving the client the whole kit and caboodle re how to change their business. So it's as opposed to it being an interview, it's a consulting session.
But isn't that what everybody tells them to do? Show them you know what you're going to do for them. Yeah,
yeah,
I can do this
for you.
You got
to be careful because they should be listening during the interview more than telling the company how to re-engineer themselves. I think that can happen later.
You know what, Carmen? You know what, Carmen? You say. You hear that resume strategy? You said that these guys have to hit the road running as soon as they go in there in two days. So, you know, if someone comes to your office, you know you're dealing with a speedy kind of person who's go. Yeah, and you're going to say, when he starts saying, look, I know what to do here, are you going to start saying, no, you're not the kind of person I want, you should listen to me instead?
You're right. You're right. I take that.
Did you ever say that to your client? Hey, schmo, you know, you're coming or going. Make up your mind or you're not going to deal with me.
We just, you know, we do sometimes is we give them coaching on how to manage the interview because the client, the candidates tend to be so strong that they'll manage the interview. And the secret for our client is to manage the interview. Ask, answer the question, please. I've asked you a question. Answer the answer it, please. Right? You can't have a guy that's got a whole book of stories and he doesn't answer the questions because then you really can't qualify whether or not you have the right candidate or not, right?
Who are the people that are usually doing the interview? If you're placing an interim CEO.
That's a good question.
Good point.
Like the HR lady?
Sometimes it's that individual with a member of the board or with the CFO, but they've got to move quickly, so they've got to bring the stakeholders into the interview too. It's never just an HR person, never.
Do you ever have the HR people jump in and say, hey, I'm in charge of this process.
A little
bit. You'll work through me, that kind of
absolutely.
Stuff?
Absolutely.
Happened twice
absolutely.
This week already.
Yeah, sometimes.
I am the HR lady. I'm the steward here.
Hey, what about HR men? There's all kinds of HR men.
Yeah, not really. Well, usually they're pretty cool. The HR guys are hip.
HR
ladies.
Yeah, I think you guys are going off. So here's the thing, though. This is the kind of placement that there's a lot on the line. It's not like you can put someone in a company and 9 months later they grow into the job. This person has to produce very quickly because the company's in a desperate situation. Maybe they're going to go under if this person doesn't
good point,
around.
Animal. What kind of insurance does your company have for professional or general or errors and omissions liability?
We have the interim insure themselves.
Okay.
Because they're incorporated.
But you're actually providing a service, though.
We
and
are.
They are there as your agent, aren't they?
Yes, but I listen, I'm not legal counsel, but I can assure you that our contracts that our clients sign are set up in such a way that we are not liable if the interim does something.
But here's my point was different. It's a good point, Jerry. My point was that if these people just don't produce immediately, there can be profound negative results. So are you
That's
saying
correct.
That you said only two people got fired, but are you saying that like 99% of these guys actually do the job they're hired to do and get it done?
Yeah, and here's a stat for you, and it contradicts the interim mindset, but 40 to 50% of our searches over the past 3 years have
nearly
become
half.
Full-time. Yeah, so nearly half, thanks, Jerry, have become full-time. And so that tells you something. It tells you something about an interim that once they go native, they have a hard time going back to being an interim.
Are there any fees then associated with them hiring them full-time?
Absolutely, you can buy it out. You can buy out our contract at any time. If you want to buy it out after 2 days, you can. You can buy it out.
So
we
is
have
it like prorated, like your standard fee prorated a certain amount per day?
Yep. Within 30 days, within 60 days, within 90 days, after 90 days.
I'm running out of time, and I'm finding this an interesting. This is interesting to me. Maybe we're just getting rolling.
Yeah.
I don't
care.
I don't care what other people.
Guess what the factor has been in it finally getting interesting.
What is it?
Just listen to the show, and I think you'll see.
Yeah,
I think you'll see.
I don't think so, but you keep interrupting, and just like Resume Stretch said, you can't stop needling me on Twitter. If I don't say something as soon as it comes to mind, I forget it, okay?
But that's your gift, Animal. That's your thing, right? You're a disruptive guy. That's cool. I like that.
I can't remember. I play cards every Thursday night. I can't remember what's been played a minute ago. It's terrible. Okay, I remember the question now since it's talking about Alzheimer's. What about these people? What does this prove? You say half of them get hired. We know they're over age already. So does that mean, does that reflect something? Does that say really, you know, when somebody's over 40? I went to a funeral the other day. And,
No.
The daughter said to me, I want to change. She asked, what do you do for a living? And I told her, and she says, I want to change my job. I'm going to call you after the morning period. So, I mean, she's over 50. She seems quite intelligent, but she apparently, you know, lost her company went under something. She went into a field that wasn't for her. You know, I'm saying, wait a sec, she's over 50. That's, and she's not going to get anything. But you're saying that
she attractive, though?
She's
if you're reasonably attractive over 50, then you probably still have a shot.
If you have energy and you're youthful, you always have a shot at being an interim. You just have to have the attitude.
No, I mean even lower. Even not the senior people. Someone who just wants a regular job as a programmer or, a foreman or whatever it is. People don't want them at age 50. You do, and you're finding that they stay in the jobs perm.
Yeah, I think a little bit of the interim magic is a try-to-buy model. So you send in somebody that's a little more mature, been there, done that, and they get in, and they're credible, and the whole organization warms up to them, and maybe they wouldn't have hired somebody that tenured at the beginning, but then all of a sudden, that person starts being credible, right? And they start warming up to the culture, and the next thing you know, they're back into full-time.
I got to tell you, Animal, Carmen is so enthused about what's – I want to hire somebody right now just from listening to that.
You know
– that's great stuff. I'm ready.
Daryl, you know, we're promoting the guy. We're talking about him. He doesn't call in. He has to, give information from – and he's in the same – a similar environment in some ways.
You're going
to
have him on next, Beth? Are you going to have him on next? Yay.
He was on already a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
thanks for following the show. And Karen Sewak just can't. She's hitting you now, Jerry. I'll just tell you. I won't go into it. How did you make the transition? It's almost the last question. From IT contractors to this other kind of person, because it sounds like a different realm entirely. How did you learn to do this?
So when I was doing full-time recruiting, I worked with a lot of senior-level executives, so I know that space. I know that culture, so I'm very comfortable with executives, and I know the staffing model. So it's kind of like blending the two. Okay, she used to do perm with executives, and she used to do temp with IT contractors. So if we just put them all together, she's doing interim. So for me, for Knightsbridge, it was they saw that I had the transferable skills, and for me, it was just a nice blend of the two because I love working with executives, and I love the adrenaline buzz of a short-term hire. I like the cycle. I love the 5 to 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so you're kind of transactional, even though you said you're relationship
oriented. I'm relationship oriented and transactional. I'm a contractor.
Okay, you call yourself a partner. Is that like associate? Everybody's an associate. Everybody's a partner, or are you a
partner?
Really
is just
senior echelon?
Honestly, a partner is like a account executive in the staffing world, except in executive search, you use the word partner. Same way you do partner in a law firm. It's sales, right? You're a salesperson.
Well, partner actually would mean partner. I mean, I don't want to get too...
You don't know anything. But you're not selling. You didn't say anything so far about business development that you go out and bring in business. People are just calling you because you're already doing some other kind of business with them.
No, I prospect. I have days where I'll make 40 calls. And I think that's a lot.
And I have to let you go. I got 3 minutes. Tell me how you do your biz dev. That's the Chris Fleek question. He doesn't call anymore
I build lists in our CRM, and I set them up so that if I log in, there's like 10 or 20 calls identified for me to make, and I call people and introduce myself. I say, hi, I'm Carmen Jeffrey.
That was Jerry's question before.
Vice presidents of HR, vice presidents of HR, CEOs, CFOs, depending on...
What do you say?
I say, I'm pretty laid back. I say, hi, it's Carmen Jeffrey calling from Knightsbridge. Have you ever worked with us? Yes, no. If they haven't worked with us, I tell them about Knightsbridge as a whole. If they've worked with us, I ask them where, and we get
shouldn't
a conversation.
Shouldn't you know
going.
If they've worked with you? That'd be like me calling my customers and saying, hey, do you know who
Let's
I am?
Let's not go there.
They'd be like,
sometimes,
yeah, it's you, Jerry.
Who uses their CRM? People don't always put stuff into the CRM. So I might read something, and it may be accurate, it may not. And plus it sparks conversation, right? So if they're going to tell me a story about how they work with Knightsbridge, it segues me into, have you ever heard about our talent acquisition practice? No, I haven't. So I tell them all about interim management. I tell them all about our recruiting outsourcing division. And I ask them if there's any way
something.
We can help.
We had a guy named Gary Chaplin on a few weeks ago from England, and he insisted that you have to find out everything about somebody before you call them.
Nah,
I think that was a bit extreme.
What a way.
Yeah,
honestly,
but you know
I don't.
What? If I called up, Jerry had a good point. If I called up and said, have you ever done business with me before? People were going to say, what's wrong with you? Don't you know?
But it sounds to me, though, as I was thinking about after my question, Knightsbridge does more than just Carmen's division.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
so
it.
There's a lot more. I think it's a fantastic question, Karma, and I'd stick with it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he's backing out. Okay. Any parting words? Anything we should discuss? You have a good, you're a bit wordy, but I like the way you sound on the phone.
I had fun with you guys. You guys are a lot more fun to. I thought I'd maybe pass out and faint, you know, that the call would go dead halfway through. So I've had a lot of fun. And I'm going to have to pipe in more. I have to admit, I've been more apt to go to your downloads and check out the show than do it live. So I'll be booking my lunch hours.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Thanks,
that's
guys.
I'll say. Is that it? Any parting words for recruiters? A tip for someone who wants to become a recruiter tomorrow?
A.K.A. Animal.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, I don't.
Just say no.
God.
Just say no. Okay, Carmen.
Don't do
afraid.
It.
Thank you. Oh,
hello?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Who's here?
I'm here.
Paul Paris.
Yeah.
I tell you, these Canadians all get along with each other so well. Daryl a couple weeks ago. What was that?
Sorry, Jerry, I was listening for it, too. I thought I'd throw it.
Whatever that was, play it again. It was pretty funny.
No, it's okay. Can I say something? I was just ribbing. I was just ribbing our friend, Intel Minds, Daryl Daly. He does not have to call in. He's apologizing now on Twitter. Nobody has to call in to this show, okay?
Well,
but when you want to say something, it's easier if you call in and ask her yourself. That's your area of expertise. I don't know anything about insurance. I don't know anything about insurance. Do you, Jerry?
Yes, I do.
Did you ever get sued?
No, I don't.
Because your guys are not insured. That's the difference between...
No, mine...
You're insured. They don't insure themselves, right?
Right. And at first I thought they were talking about like health insurance and that kind of thing. As a company, I have my own insurance. So any agent proposed or assigned on any of my clients is covered.
So if someone screws up a project, do they ever try to sue you, the company?
No.
Okay.
Plus, I have an indemnity clause in all of my agreements, and it says they can't.
Okay, whatever. Okay, talk to your other.
I don't think anybody's here, man.
Yeah,
so I'm not gonna try to force something
here.
That's
speak
not
up.
Here.
This is your chance.
Hey, Jerry, you there?
Yeah, sign in. Who's here?
Jerry, it's Daryl.
Can you guys hear me?
Hey, Daryl Dioso?
Yeah.
No, Derek.
Yeah.
Dirt Diver,
Daryl Dioso. Who else?
Daryl Daly's here.
Who, Daryl Daly? Are you wrapping up that placement or what?
You know what? This one I have to walk to the door and not see it through. So, c'est la vie. One of those.
Yeah, it's one of those, man. You can't be in this business without having some of those.
Yeah, it happens. No, you know, one of those things. Say that.
Yeah.
I was in for about half, a little over half of the of it, just listening in. So.
Yeah. What did you think of it? Give us a score for the guest, fellow Canadian there.
I got to tell you, I liked her. I thought she held her own. I thought she's smart. She's quite savvy. I'm absolutely agreeing with Animal. She definitely does good phone.
Yeah, she was very, very sharp, I thought.
Yeah, I thought she was very sharp. I'd give her an 85, actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what about a score for Animal?
You know what? The last, I was only there for just over half. So
yeah.
When, you know, the stuff that I listened to, I'd give him an 85, too. I thought he was good. He, you know, there was a couple moments when he was, you know, kind of shouting down over her or someone else. But
yeah.
I'd give him an 80.
Okay. Yeah, cool. All right, man. I'm glad you called in. Hey, Derek.
Yo.
How's Virginia?
You know, it's surprisingly warmer than it's been for the past few days, so we're doing all right, man.
All right. So
it's warm here,
there,
too.
Then.
It's only minus 17 today.
Nice. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Inside.
Nothing.
No.
Not close to Canadian weather, which is always like below zero, right?
What did you think of the show?
It was good, man. It was really good. I listened all the way through. I thought it was really well done. Both sides. Kudos to both groups, including yourself. I mean, the whole thing was just really kind of fun.
Well, fantastic.
Yeah. I'm going to go 88 across the board.
Did you say 80?
88 across the board.
88. All right. You know, it's fun when Animal has a guest on that's actually a successful person, and you can tell that they're a success because of who they are, and they know what they're doing, and they're not grasping to convince us of some product or service that they don't even have confidence in themselves. You know, like some of these, you know, social recruiting tool people that have come on and. You know, LinkedIn coaches, different people that are, you know, struggling just to keep their head above the water. You can tell when that person versus a person like Carmen or Daryl from a couple of weeks ago. I like it.
Do you remember Matt last week? He was talking all about it, and then at the same time while he was doing it, he's on Twitter online just saying how much BS, he knows that his industry is BS and what he's doing is BS, but he's making a lot of money doing it. And I just thought, well, that speaks a lot to integrity. He doesn't even believe in what he's doing himself. So
yes, I see. I still don't even know what he's doing. But him aside, there's a bigger crowd, and I'm not picking on Matt Charnock because I think he seems like a pretty cool guy.
I liked him too. He took it well. He did.
There are, though, a crowd of people that I'm not sure what their product is, and I'm not sure who I feel worse for, them trying to make a career out of hot air or the customers that bring them in or sponsor their events thinking that they're getting something and they don't. It's crazy. It's wacky.
That's always kind of confusing to me too. I mean, I've had people call me, you know, and try to sell me something, and I can tell they're reading off a list. They're reading off of somebody, you know, cue cards they were given or something.
Yeah.
You ask them, I try to even throw them a softball question, and they get confused. It's like, no, I didn't get that, you know. It's like, what the hell are you calling me for then?
Right.
Well, you know what it is? It's the talent war, right? Everyone wants to get the best talent, but they want to pay the least amount of money, and they're willing to take chances on something that, you know, sounds like it's valuable, but if it's not, as long as it's cheap, don't care.
Yeah.
Right.
Dioso, what do you think about the show? Is he there or is he gone? No. Anybody else? Is it just you two guys and me? I think it was a great show. I'm going to give it an 87 and an 87. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
I'm just excited I got to call in this time.
Yeah, man.
My phone. What the hell?
All right, well, I'm going to get back to work.
All right, man.
It's just crazy, crazy, crazy. I need to get a bond consultant for a project in Detroit. In fact, last week they interviewed a guy from Toronto, one of my guys from Toronto, but he was a bit over the top, So actually, I've got another guy from Canada that is interviewing with my client in Detroit. So I want to get that scheduled right now.
Well, hopefully, these people will actually pay you.
What's that?
So hopefully, these people will actually pay you as opposed to,
you know.
Are you having?
Am I what?
Rolling down the street.
I don't know what's going on. Hey, have a great week, guys.
You too, guys. Bye.
Later.
Rolling down the street, smoking in the dark, sipping on the gin and juice. Rolling down the street, smoking in the dough, sipping on gin and juice.